Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Woo! You know this song makes me happy, right? Seriously. I have such joy when I hear it. It lifts me up. And boy, do we need lifting up today, right? Seriously, we need a lot of uplifting songs, uplifting moments in our lives to put a smile on it. And it's not just us here in this great state of Minnesota. It's all around the world. Speaking of uplifting, I'm looking for some workout clothes. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Cheryl. Well, there's a segue. There you go.
Okay. So I went online looking for workout wear for me, right? Mm-hmm. And in the past, I have found clothes that just didn't fit me right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
Workout clothes are meant to be worn close to the body. Can I just
snug.
Say it that way? Snug. There you go. You know, and on you, it would look snug. On
no.
me, it would look snug. So, seriously. And I think I am a beautiful woman. Seriously, don't get me wrong.
I know.
But it's a challenge. Are you ever concerned about that when you work out or go running? Or
I am not, because I don't really wear snug clothes because they bother me.
Yeah, I've never seen you in something snug.
No,
ever.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like how it feels. I feel like I just don't like it.
So are you one of those women at the gym that wears her mom jeans?
Yeah. Or,
seriously?
Or like sweatpants. You know, they're loose. Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. I have seen a lot of big girls in sweatpants at the gym, right,
mm-hmm.
in past years.
Yeah.
And it amazes me that they don't quite tie that elastic thing that's supposed to make them tighter around the waist. And we see things. We see things.
That we
things
shouldn't.
I don't want to see. You
no.
know? And what do you do? What's the proper thing to do when someone is at the gym and they're not dressed appropriately, even if it's to me or, you know, I can see things?
I don't know what you do. How could you say? I mean, that happens a lot, whether you're at the gym or out in public. Someone will have a shirt that shows a part of their
mm-hmm.
underbelly, and I
mm-hmm.
just think, oh, my goodness, where did they look in the mirror?
Right.
But, you know, I think that it's a whole new world. People, especially the young people, they will just wear anything. You know, if they're large, they'll wear yoga pants
right.
where every little dimple of their butt shows.
Yeah.
And I think, gosh, that looks just gross.
But we were taught not to do anything like that. You know, other countries, they wear just about anything they want to wear. And then there are some countries where they, you know, they're just so pulled. I mean, you couldn't get away with that in London, in parts of London. Let's put it that way.
No,
right. You couldn't get away with that. But here, we're you know, if you're feeling beautiful and that you feel like your body is beautiful, should you be able to walk out or go to the gym or go running with hardly anything on? And when I was in Boston, I saw some things. And they were usually women that were built up really nice or men that were built up nice. And to me, I think it should be, you know, an equal opportunity moment. If a big person should be able to wear that, then a big man should be able to wear that. If a skinny woman should be able to wear that, then a really fit man should be able to wear that. You know, so I want to protest on men not wearing much of that. You know, you see them in the big gym shorts. So I'm saying if we're going to wear that stuff, then they ought to, you know, come on out and wear that stuff.
Well, it's interesting because also these days it's a little bit different than what we're talking about. But a lot of pregnant women will wear
yeah,
tight clothes now.
Yeah.
And
really show off the belly.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And I think it's fine. It's wonderful. They love that bump. But I know I had a muumuu that I wore for 4 weeks in the end that had food on it. And, you know, because I ran out of things to wear because you're so big.
My daughter ran out of things to wear, too. But I have to tell you, when it comes to pregnancy, I veer differently. I really think it's beautiful.
When they wear a
when
tighter
they wear
top.
The, you know, I remember, I think it was Beyonce that was pictured recently at a baby shower with her bump completely exposed. And she
oh,
had
with
it,
skin?
Yeah. And
oh.
she had that. Indian henna.
Yes.
That, you know, all over her belly. And mm-hmm. I just thought it was gorgeous. So I know there are appropriate things that we should wear on the streets. There are appropriate things we should wear to, you know, an elegant event. I mean, we have rules and regulations.
Yes.
But somehow the gym gets away with a whole lot of stuff.
A whole lot of stuff.
Right? So I'm trying to figure out what I should do. I mean, if you feel your pants falling in the back there, the wind is touching places that it ought not be touching. What should we say, Susie?
Tap him on the shoulder. You know, I can see your butt.
I can see it. I can see it.
I prefer you pull your pants up.
I believe it's the crack of dawn somewhere. Right? You got to say something.
Well, I always want to say something to the fellows walking around downtown with their pants around their, you know, the old underwear butt showing.
I have absolutely.
Have you ever said anything?
Oh my gosh. In fact, you know, a lot of the communities of color have had seminars, and we've had all types of programs dedicated to this and radio shows dedicated to this to say, do you understand what this means, first of all? And second of all, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. The last thing I want to see is
your underwear.
You know, do I mean that? I have to think about that. Yeah, I do mean it, particularly the young ones, right?
I was at Super America, and I was behind a guy that had his drawers down, and I saw his undies, and I was like, they look kind of raggedy, and his underwear.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is gross. I'm a foot away from your dirty underwear.
Mm-hmm.
But of course I wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I think I've noticed less
of
young
that.
Men wearing their pants down.
I agree. I think it seems to be a waning trend. Mm-hmm. However, you know, my sister, we had a nephew that used to wear his pants like that all the time, and she kept saying to him, don't come to my house with that on. Do not wear your pants like that here in the house. And if you do, I'm going to pull them down. And he kept doing it. And then one day he came in, and they left the house to go somewhere. And while standing on the corner, she pulled him down. And he was so upsetting.
I bet.
Auntie, why would you do that to me? He was so upset. She said, I told you, when you're in my presence, don't do it. I don't want to see it.
So now you
want everybody else to see it, then fine.
There it is.
Can you imagine?
So congratulations. Since Sunday at last, when did that child arrive?
May 31st.
What
on
day?
Wednesday of this week.
And how late was it?
Well, it depends on if you look at the first date, which was May 21st, and then the second date was May 27th, and so she came 5 days even after that.
Okay.
But 7.8 ounces, healthy.
What's her name?
Fola Sade.
Oh, boy, that's pretty.
Fola Sade. And most people will call her Sade.
You think?
Yeah, because it's a name from his country. He's from West Africa. And my daughter used the analogy of the name Anthony. You wouldn't call him Anne. You call him Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And so people will call her Sade instead of Fola.
Sade.
Fola Sade.
Is it Sade like Sade?
Yes, just like the singer.
Wow. Do you like Sade?
Look, it's one of the best concerts I have ever attended in my lifetime at the old Northrop Auditorium.
Mm.
And she was amazing. Performed in bare feet, you know, in a mermaid type dress, and just was beautiful.
She is sort of spirit, her essence is just so, she's so peaceful, like
very
watching her
peaceful.
Sing. I saw her at Target Center. And
how was that?
Because
a bigger venue. I her and Luther Vandross, those were two of the singers I wanted to see in a smaller venue.
Mm-hmm.
So 5,000 seats was enough to me. I didn't want to see 20,000 seats.
Where was Luther?
Luther was at Northrop, the old Northrop.
Mm.
But then I saw him at Target Center too, and I went, yep, I was right.
I could listen to Luther Vandross all day.
All day long.
Oh,
God rest his soul.
Man.
That is a voice we miss so much, so much. And there have been a few that have tried to, take over the, absolutely, but not quite. But
he makes my heart melt.
I know. In fact, I think that's going to be the voice I'm going to warm up to at the gym when I start next week.
Love won't let me wait.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or did you ever hear him, the house is not a home?
No.
Girl, a lot of children walking around that were born from that song. I just need you to know. A lot of Luther Vandross. Yeah. Just an amazing voice, amazing talent, both of them. And I haven't heard from Sade in a while, so I'm looking forward to see what her new renderings will be.
Right,
we'll see.
Right,
we'll
right.
See.
So you have a new grandbaby.
New grandbaby. And she just went home today.
She did.
Mm-hmm. Just
nice.
Both of them, both mom and dad, you know. And Saren,
my four-year-old.
And she is so gentle with her.
Is she?
She's so fragile.
Yeah.
Grandma Soda. So it's just been a joyous day.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you, darling.
I love it.
It's good to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you.
Enjoy your evening. I'm sure you got a packed show.
Oh, I got a packed show. And David is going to lead us through the next hour here. He's just here with us until 8 o'clock. And then Kevin Reed will step in. Want to let you know, at 7:35, we're going to have open phone lines. So give us a call. We look forward to finding out what you want to talk about. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 7:21 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. I love this song. Makes me happy when I hear it also, right? Some people think it was overplayed, but really, was it? So here's the deal. We're trying to get our guest on, and hopefully he will join us any minute. We just talked to him a minute ago, so we hope we can catch up with him. But while we are waiting, and that song is fading, we're going to talk a little bit about what this is all about. You know, I've been hearing so much all week long about the Kathy Griffin mishap. And it was seriously a major, major mishap. She went way too far. Although I have had guests on my show so many times that says, you know, the comedians, comedians and artists, those who create art, are the two that never seem to have any filters that they have to stick to. You know, with cable, they can say anything they want to say. They can go further than they can ever imagine going. Bill Maher was just cited in the news this weekend about, you know, using the N-word on his show, and he had to apologize for that. And, you know, when you're on cable, these comedians, and they are comedians first and foremost, don't get it twisted, even though some of them have, you know, their own talk shows and that sort of thing, they are comedians first and foremost. And they are used to being able to say just about anything, just about anything. Well, there she was holding the bloodied, severed head, mocking that this possible death of that he would be beheaded. Trump, our president, President Trump would be beheaded. Now, you all know that I am not a fan of Donald Trump, our president, not at all. But this went too far for me personally. Now, if I was watching this on cable television, and most people would probably feel like, well, what's the problem? But anyone watching cable or any other station, right, is saying that it went way too far. Well, is that actually true? Why don't we have our guest weigh in on that? His name is Will Durst. He's a well-known comedian and political commentator, and he's going to join us just to bring clarity to all of this. Did she go too far? Welcome to CCO, Will. Will, are you there? Oh, no. I think his number, his call keeps dropping. We're going to keep trying to get him on, you guys, so hang in there. By the way, Will has performed for many of the presidents, so he can really weigh in on this. So first, let's take a listen to what Kathy Griffin actually said in her apology. Okay, she says she was wrong. She made it very clear. Welcome to CCO, Will. How are you?
Hey, Ms. Steele, how you doing?
Hey, now, I'm doing great. I'm so glad that you could join us tonight to kind of give us clarity on this. Okay, I was just talking a moment ago. Comedians always go too far. Someone is going to be offended when you say something, right?
Yeah, well, that's part of the deal. You got to push the edge of the envelope, and the edge is always moving. It's a fluid envelope.
It's a fluid envelope. Okay, I buy that. But what about people who say this went too far, and now they're protesting against her, they're so angry. Do you think she went too far?
You know what I think is that the bloody part was too far. I think if she had held him by his golden helmet, that nobody would have noticed. You know, it would have been because it would have been cartoony. I think the blood was too visceral.
Okay. Why is it that the beheading would not be visceral, but just the bloodiness was?
Well, it would have been as, you know, but not to the extent that the bloody head looked. I think the president is kind of a cartoony sort of guy. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, so mm-hmm. I think it would have been better that way. I think there still would have been an, you know, outcry, but Kathy Griffin, I mean, you know, tasteless, that's her gig.
That is her gig. That's what she does. She goes too far, even for the New Year's Eve thing that she does with Anderson Cooper. You know, she goes too far. So if you don't like her, you know, don't pay attention. But when it goes this far, then what happens? How do you regain your name?
You just keep plugging. You keep doing what it is that you do.
If this were to happen to you, who would you reach out to?
Well, I have gone too far. I actually used to do a joke in San Francisco. Our mayor was shot, and I did a joke because Dianne Feinstein, who is now our U.S. senator, but she was the board of supervisors, so she was next in line. And I used to do a joke where I said that the guy who shot her was on Twinkies, the famous Twinkie defense. And so I would get boos and stuff on that. And the audience tells you when you've gone too far. And you just adjust. You maintain and move on.
Yeah, I know some of those that have talk shows, there has been a graying between the comedian and what he has to say when he's on a talk show, where you can be more serious and you can have real interviews and real conversations. Has that been a challenge? Has that been one of the reasons why it's been difficult for comedians to not, you know, to not be given the license to go further? I mean, you've had your own radio show, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, people always warn you not to say dirty words when you're on the radio, but it's like being at your grandma's house. I mean, you don't drop an F-bomb in front of your grandma, and the same thing happens on radio and TV. You get a built-in governor, although cable has blurred the lines, you know, because people forget when they're on cable and when they're on network television.
Mm-hmm, and that's a real challenge. Let's talk about the presidents that you performed for, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, and Al Gore. And I'm sure you didn't agree with all of these, whether they were candidates or presidents. When you performed for them, were you able to make fun of them, or did you stay away from that?
I did in front of Bill. I made fun of him, but it was, you know, gentle light ribbing. When I worked for George Herbert Walker Bush, it was one of his Points of Light Foundation benefits.
Okay.
And it was when his son was running for re-election, when George W. was running for re-election. So his staff came up in front of me, you know, and said, in front of the gig, and said, you know, lay off the president stuff. And I said, don't worry, you know, I got plenty of Clinton and Kerry jokes. So, and it went well. And then afterwards, he outroed me, you know, Wilder, very funny. And then he actually said, I'd like to hear what you had to say if I weren't in the room. And I yelled out, no, you wouldn't.
Right.
It got the best laugh of the night.
Yeah, I believe, and I actually believe that what you said, that you could go much further if he wasn't in the room. Let's talk about Alec Baldwin before I let you go. He has come out defending Kathy Griffin, and it's been hard to find comedians that came out and said, oh, no, she was absolutely right. She should have gone further. But Alec Baldwin stood up. And, of course, people have been very upset with some of the skits that have been done on Saturday Night Live, but I haven't heard anyone say that it went too far. What do you think about this?
I think that Donald Trump is, you know, that's one of the bright sides of the Donald Trump presidency is the Alec Baldwin Full Employment Act. So I think it's a discussion whether or not you believe that our political comedy can actually change the way things are or change the perspective, at least. I know that I'm performing a lot lately, and people come out, and it's almost cathartic. It's almost like I'm a therapist,
yeah.
You know, taking people through their frustrations and their, you know, I'm giving them I'm taking them through their PTSD, their President Trump stress disorder, and they're having a, you know, it's almost like a community.
Yeah.
People are seeking self, you know, and you don't get a lot of right wingers. Well, especially, you know, I'm here in San Francisco, but I'm coming to Minneapolis. I'm going to.
Yes, you are in August. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, it'll be a fun gig doing my little, I love the 612 area code. I always have it because the way he books that club, Louis Lee, the owner, he booked, it's such a smart audience. Not that Minneapolis isn't a smart town, but the way he books the club, it's, you know, and I can take risks there, and I can push the envelope.
Well, we want to let people know.
I always look forward to Acme, yeah.
Okay, Acme is where he's going to be, Acme Comedy Club in August. Look forward. Just go to their website. And also go to Will's website at willdurst.com. Will, I really appreciate you joining us. You as a comedian, sir, have a lot of power, and I hope you wielded it well.
Yes, I'm going to use my power for good, not evil.
There you go. You take care of yourself.
Thank you, Ms. Steele.
All right, bye-bye. Well, so how do you feel about it? Do you believe that, you know, you've heard this so many times, comedians always go too far. And all of a sudden we open up the conversation. But this was different. And then what about that crazy man that's, you know, a big Trump supporter who wanted to put a gun in the mouth of the president and blow his head off. Remember that? We'll talk more about that. So the phone lines are open to you right after the weather. Just call 612-989-9226. I'm sorry, 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So what say you about this Kathy Griffin thing and, of course, about Alec Baldwin today coming out saying that he supports her? You know, he's defending what she did. Do you think it's going too far? Now, we've been talking about art a lot. We heard about the art installation at the Walker Arts Center last Sunday. We played a clip from Roshini Rajkumar's show where Robin Robinson, who has owned galleries herself, called into her show to talk about what was going on at the Walker Arts Center and the installation that really it really hurt the people of the Dakota, Indian tribe. And when you know that you've offended people like that, something has to change. They did not talk to them. They did not discuss it with them. And so we say that when you're not sure, talk to the people that you're trying to reach. A comedian doesn't necessarily do that. They do whatever they want. By the way, the phone lines are open to you at 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. What do you think about this? Do you think Alec Baldwin was right to come out and support her in this? Do you support her in this? Do you think we need to say something this strong considering the choices that he's making right now? 651-989-9226 or 1-866-989-9226. We have this whole half hour to talk about it, so don't keep me waiting. I'd love to hear from you. So let's talk about what it means to reach out to people and let them know how you are truly feeling about it. As a comedian, you can put it in whatever way you want to say it, right? You can say it's too much. I think you've crossed the line. But do we get mad and say, I'm not going to buy any more of her tickets? Do we say she doesn't have license to do that? It's unfair. Why do we do that? Why do we allow her to get away with that? Are you in support of what comedians can do, should do? They've become very powerful. I remember when I heard comedians in the 70s and 80s, it was talking about their lives growing up and talking about, you know, who they were and how they became and this uncle that was crazy and that auntie and this mother that did this and, you know, and they talk about, you know, certain things that happened to them. It was very personal, the stories. Nowadays, we really get into the political stuff, don't we? And it makes us uncomfortable sometimes. But don't we have the right to do it? As a nation, comedians, I've tried live comedy, and let me tell you, I was terrible. I bombed. I will never do it again. I have great respect for anyone who gets up in front of a crowd who says, make me laugh. You better make me laugh. I'd love to hear from you, 651-989-9226. Let's go to Michael in Hudson. How you doing, Michael?
Hi, I'm doing fine. So hey. I just wanted to mention, I think that move was in terrible taste. It's mm-hmm. offensive. It's just as low class as you can get, but in the country we live in, I think it should be legal.
So have you told any of your family members about that, how you feel about it?
Friends. Yeah, we talked about it, and they feel about the same.
Oh, everyone? Okay, so if this is where we stop and go, okay, it ought to be legal, it's free speech.
Absolutely.
So if someone did that to a family member of yours, if a comedian came to your hometown and they picked you out of everyone and had a picture of someone holding their bloodied, severed head and made jokes about it, how would you feel?
Well, I'd feel that they're probably not, when we die, they're probably not going to go to the same place I do, but it should be legal.
It should be legal. Good enough. Thank you, Michael, for calling in. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
So if that's the case, do you agree with Michael? Do you think that's exactly the way it should be? Yes. To many of you listening, it's an egregious sin. It's a transgression to be able to get away with that. You remember when they put the Obamas, the First Lady Michelle Obama and President Obama, on the cover of The New Yorker with machine guns and the wraps, the Muslim wraps, the wraps that the Islamic men wear, Muslim men wear? And how offended so many of us were. It was awful. I thought it was awful, but they did it. Who told them to rescind that? Who told them to take it down? We don't believe it. We refuse to deal with that. Who told them that? Because I don't remember ever seeing it go away. We have seen cartoonists do it over and over and over again, and it is offensive, no doubt about it. I've been offended. And there have been some comedians who really were hurt by something they said or did in their routine. Who is the guy from Seinfeld, who was in a comedy club that I frequented when I was living in Los Angeles? You know, who just used the N-word and a few other expletives that the audience did not appreciate, how he treated a heckler. And it almost ruined his career. So those of us who are not proponents of this president, President Donald Trump, we stand back and go, whoa, okay, you went too far on this, but I understand your anger. I understand your angst. I understand your pain. But those of you that are for this president, I can just imagine how angry you were, because I was very upset when I saw that New Yorker, magazine cover. So I know that as a nation, we have a collection of laws, that some of us want to obey. Some of us say, yep, that law makes sense. Then others of us want to change it. And we say, no, that one doesn't work so much to me. Or I want to put stipulations on that. I want to draw my parameters around that. And everyone around me has to know you don't cross that line. And let me tell you, there's a reason for parameters. But what do you say about it? Let's go over to John calling in from Delano. Hey, John.
Hi. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Is Three Crows still in Delano?
I'm sorry. Say that again?
Is the diner, or not the diner, but it's like a little music club called Three Crows. Does that still exist in Delano?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know. The Peppermint Twist Drive-In's still here.
All right. I'll take it. How are you, John?
Doing good. Congratulations on the addition to your family.
Thank you so much. So tell me, what do you think about this?
I'm disgusted by it. I mean, as the president of our United States, I just have to ask you this question honestly. What would your response have been if this was 2 years ago and it was President Obama?
Well, as you know, if they had held up a bloodied head, I'd be terribly upset. Did you just hear me a moment ago say those that are proponents of Donald Trump, of course, would be absolutely upset. And those who are not probably sit back and go, well, I'm so angry about what has happened, I don't have any problem with it. I think it did go too far. But I also believe that what the rocker, what is his name? Ted Nugent. You remember
Nugent,
what he
yep.
said? Now, he did not hold up a bloodied fake head of the president, but he did say he wanted to put his gun in his mouth and blow his brains out.
Yeah,
there were people
burning
him in effigy. They were carrying around, things of with horrible blood on his face, and they were doing this in protest. How far is too far?
Well, I think this is too far. I believe in freedom of speech, and I'm not going to say you can't say it, you can't do it. I just can't imagine what somebody in that family feels like. And I have no sympathy whatsoever because it's a comedian. I just don't think that makes any difference if it's you or I
or
Kathy Griffin or whoever.
Or Ted Nugent, were you okay with what Ted said?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that again.
Were you okay with what Ted Nugent said?
No, not really. That's way too far.
All right, good.
That's
enough.
Way too far. But I'm somebody that I really believe I'm fighting for the good of our country. And I just don't want to see anybody be targeted like that. I don't care what party they are. It's our country. It's our president. Like them or hate them, why not try to help them return our country to what we want it to be?
But you know that there's not many outlets for people to just release that anger, right? We don't
well,
have any
again, that kind of anger I don't want to see. I know they have a right to do it. I agree they have the right to do it. I also have a right to turn off the TV station when she comes on, and you can do that. You know,
you don't have to buy the ticket.
It's human beings that they're targeting, and they're Americans that they're targeting. I'm not in favor. Can't support it. And at the end of you were trying to say that you didn't like it, but you come back to but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I don't have a butt. I just don't like it.
All right. I should appreciate it, John. And will you tell the people of Delano that Geraldine Steele says hello?
I sure will.
All right. Take care.
Have a good night.
You too. The phone lines are open to you at 651-989-9226. Outside the metro area, it's 1-866-989-9226. There has been such a graying of various industries, particularly when it comes to the entertainment industry. And I think that has hurt us in many ways, whether it's comedians, whether it's artists that draw and paint and build installations that tell us a story or tell us something, or whether it's singers or performers. I mean, I think that we have crossed the line a lot too much. But you cannot say that it's okay for one person to do it for one president and not be able to do it for another president. That's my only thing. So if I'm saying but, that is the but. Let's make that clear. We can't allow it to be done to any president. And if you're okay with that, I'm okay with that. But to accept it from one person when it's talking about one president that you're not for, but then you get a president that you're for and all of a sudden you can't take it, something is wrong with that. Either we are going to be behind the First Amendment, either we're going to say, well, it's their right to say it. I disagree with it. I don't have to buy the ticket. I don't have to listen to it. I'm done. You can do that. But to say that they're wrong for doing it, I'm not quite sure if that's what you want to say, because it's been done before and it wasn't pretty. We remember, you know, I'm a screaming Democrat. I don't hide that. I'm a liberal. And I'll never forget where I was in Arizona when that Monica Lewinsky, you know, the whole testimony or her whole everything she had to say came out. And forgive me for not being able to talk well tonight, but I was so disgusted. I was reading it. I cried. I huffed and I puffed, not because Clinton was my president, not because I felt like, oh, you know, this is a man I believe in. I could not believe the rest of the world was seeing us fight this way, was seeing us disagree this way. It was too much. It was just too much. And I don't agree with him in what he did in the White House. But that has nothing to do with leadership. But that was my personal opinion. Other people wanted him out of there. And as I watch everything unfold with this president, we were trying to impeach. In fact, the House impeached Clinton for having an extramarital affair. And here we're trying to define collusion with the Russians. Here we're looking at treason. I don't understand how we got here. We are so divided. And if we don't come together, we will be destroyed. If our Constitution is for one, it's for all. Period. Let's go to Cynthia, a woman's perspective in St. Paul. Hey, Cynthia, what do you say?
Hi. I'm calling from St. Paul, the capital of our great state of Minnesota.
I lived there for many, many years, Cynthia.
We have beautiful parks, libraries, recreation, the best access to medical care almost in the whole world. And I live in the Midway. We are a diverse population, cultures, but I think this Kathy Griffin thing is we have totally missed the mark. Yes, we live in a country that we have freedom of speech, but with that comes great responsibility and liberties.
And who defines that great responsibility, Cynthia?
I guess we have to make ourselves accountable. Do we want to view these people? Do we want to give them even the time of the day to even do something like that? Did Kathy Griffin consider that in the world right now, there are people in the United States that have had to grieve their son's beheading on public international viewing?
Oh, yeah.
Did she consider that there are Coptic Christians right now being beheaded in the world? And as we think in the United States that we have the liberty of speech, there are people that think they have the liberty of beheading.
And do you feel the same way? Did you feel the same way with President Obama when Ted Nugent said he was going to blow his head off? That's what he wanted to
do. I don't follow Kathy Griffin, and I don't follow Ted Nugent. I'm not even aware that Ted Nugent wanted to do that. So I guess what I'm saying is now that we here in the United States, we need to turn around and we have to say, is this funny? This is not funny.
All right.
There's no line on displaying a behead.
I appreciate you taking the time.
At that point.
I appreciate you taking the time to come in, Cynthia. I wanted a woman's perspective. Thank you so much. All right, we got to take a break. And Mike, you're next. It is now 7:52 here at WCCO. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Mike calling in from Egan. Hey, Mike.
Hi.
What is your comment?
Well, you made a comment about that Clinton was impeached for having an extramarital affair, but mm-hmm.
Well, for maybe, lying, for saying, for having it, yeah.
Well, I would have more so is that he had it with an employee, and I think that shouldn't be lost. He had an extramarital affair in our building, the White House, and with an employee. So I think that there was a little more to it than just an extramarital affair. So
okay, I appreciate that. Comment. But do you feel the same about what is happening now? Do you think it deserves to have a possible impeachment of President Trump, considering what's been going on in our house?
Well, if there's something that he did that's illegal, of course.
And so,
that needs to be litigated. And that's fine.
All right.
I'm not a Trump person.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike. If you're a Trump person, you're still welcome. It's okay. Thank you. Let's go over to Jean calling in North St. Paul. Hey, Jean.
Hi, girlfriend. Hi, hey, this is Jean from North St. Paul.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. You know I got a new grandbaby, right?
Yeah, I know. Oh, you are a young grandmother. You are the youngest, I tell you. And I'm doing Weight Watchers again, and my highest weight, I'm over 65 pounds down. Right?
Oh,
Weight Watchers,
awesome.
39 pounds now. I know. I'm very
that's
happy.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Anyway, and Judy's doing greater than me. Anyway.
I said hi.
So I will say hi to her. The thing is, this whole Kathy Gifford thing, you know, whatever her last name is, I don't know. Yeah, that wasn't cool, but, you know, it is what it is. But what really makes me angry is that, well, first of all, Trump needs to be impeached if he did something wrong, and that needs to be looked at. And he shouldn't be squelching Comey's, you know, ability to talk. But the thing that bothers me is that how many pictures did he have that was there out there of our awesome President Obama? Yes, I'm a liberal, folks. Deal with it. And out there of him being hanged and other awful pictures, lynching and things. And, you know, people just didn't say a lot about it. And it's like, excuse me? Mm-hmm. You know, so that those were awful pictures, you know, of him as president, you know, and a president being the pictures of him being lynched and stuff. How horrible.
I know. It's really horrible.
Yeah.
So as we said, when we watch this, and I hope you'll call in next Sunday because we're going to, you know, really pay attention to what will be said this week about all of this, because I'm very
curious.
Yes,
I will.
And I know you are too. Thanks for calling in, Jean.
Huh? Thanks, honey.
All right. Let's go over to Mark calling in from Northeast Minneapolis. Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
Hey, now I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'd like to comment because I listened to that earlier woman that was on from St. Paul, and she
Cynthia.
Had it spot on what she said about, you know, Kathy Griffin holding the head like that is just utterly ridiculous because people in America seeing their family members like that mutilated over on, you know, soil like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to do something like that just really gets my irked me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but
all right.
You know.
So you're saying, I want to be clear, you're saying that it bothered you because this is a reality of war that is happening right now,
right.
Outside of our nation, and we're seeing
it.
You go online and see it, and so the family that would see it,
right.
Okay. All right. I sure appreciate it, Mark. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. You know, when you're taking the time to really call in. You take the time to pick up the phone and call in because something really moves you. We appreciate that at CCO. And although you don't agree with everything that I say, it's okay because we really do welcome the voices here at WCCO. What is happening to us right now as a nation is driving people. I want to make sure that I tell you that Kathy Griffin, not Gifford, that's a different Kathy, Kathy Griffin, the comedian, has apologized over and over and over again. But what she said that was really interesting to me. She said, I don't think I'll have a career after this. I have had death threats and that sort of thing. She's lost a ton of work. But she said, the reason I went this far was because I'm broken. This president has broken me. Wrap your head around that. I don't know what it means for her, but for me to admit that I've been broken and I've been on the cusp of broken, that's serious business. So as we sit and we throw stones and we say, wow, what she did was awful. I said the same thing about Ted Nugent. I kept trying to figure out, how did Ted Nugent get away with threatening our president? How did that happen? Why wasn't he sitting in jail somewhere? And I'm sure many of you are asking, why isn't Kathy Griffin sitting in jail somewhere for holding up a fake head, a simulation of our president, Donald Trump, with bloodied, severed head? Yes, it's offensive. I agree with you that it's offensive. But should it be allowed? I don't like to see it either way. I think our presidents, we should not play around with that. We shouldn't make fun that far. I don't want to give anyone the idea that they can walk in someplace and just shoot, stab, or try to kill the president. So as we move forward this week, we'll be hearing more. But take solace in knowing that she has lost a lot of jobs. I don't take solace in that. But I'm so sorry to hear that it had to go that far. Makes me uncomfortable. But if it goes this far, if I say this is too far, what Ted Nugent did was too far as well. Way too far. And I didn't hear from you like I'm hearing from you now. That's unfortunate. You're listening to Steel Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the YMCA and what's happening with this huge grant that they received and what they're going to do with it. So I hope you will stick and stay with us. At 8:35, we have a segment called So What Do You Do? And we're going to find out what exactly does Jasmine Stringer do. She's going to be in studio with us. And then, of course, it's time for Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment at 9 o'clock. So stick and stay. The Mom and Michael Hour will be happening at 10 o'clock as well. That's right. Michael had a chance to go see Wonder Woman. Uh-oh, what did he think of it? All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.